Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Divorce Girl Smiling Podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff, and I'm your host. I'm the creator and editor-in-chief of Divorce Girl Smiling, the website, the podcast, and the mobile app. So when couples go to divorce mediation, I would think most of the time they have good intentions. They're there because they wanted to work out and come to a good agreement. And they really want the process to work. But we all know sometimes, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but it's happened to me. You say something and you go, oh, in your head, I cannot believe I just said that. I wish I could take it back. And I think that happens in mediation a lot of times, and it definitely undermines the process. Sometimes to the point where mediation ends up being unsuccessful. So I thought it would be a good idea to talk about things that you shouldn't say in mediation, things that might hurt the process and hurt the outcome of the mediation. And to talk about that, I'm sitting here with Ellen Feldman. Hi, Ellen.
Thanks for having me. I love doing these.
I know. It's very, very fun sitting here at my table with Ellen talking. This is like our fourth podcast or something. And we always have a good time, and we always walk away feeling like we gave some great information.
Absolutely.
And I thought Ellen would be a good person to talk about this with, obviously, because she's been a divorce mediator since 2007, but also because, Ellen, you're really well-spoken, and you're the kind of person, from what I know of you, and I've known Ellen for like 10 years or something, you really think before you speak. I've never heard you say like, oh, I didn't mean to say that or anything. Like I'm more of the, oh, sorry, did that sound stupid? You know, I'm all over the place. But you're very well spoken. So obviously you are in a position to talk about things you've heard people say in mediation that might have hurt the process. Not that it's not repairable, but Ellen's going to offer four things that you shouldn't say during mediation that will hurt the process. And she wrote an article for Divorce Girl Smiling on this subject. So I'm going to read the four things that you shouldn't say during divorce mediation, and then you can just expand on them. Okay?
Sounds good.
And so we also have other mediation tips as well, which we're going to get to. All right. The first one is, if you don't agree with this, I'm just going to go to court. I know I'm going to get what I want anyway. Why would someone say that?
I hope they say it because they're nervous. I think they might say it because their attorney said, because if you go to an attorney, he or she is going to promise you, here are the things I think you can have if we go to court. Here's how this will go. They shouldn't promise you, but they should say, these are the things that I hope will be the outcome of your divorce. And if people then go to mediation and say, my attorney said I could do this, my attorney said I could have this, it undermines the process because it says flat out to their spouse, I'm not willing to listen to you unless you're giving me these things.
All right, so you bring up a really good point. I could see someone saying this, and by the way, I probably said this when I was going through mediation, because you're nervous, you're scared, you have anxiety, you are insecure that you're not going to get what you want, and so it's sort of like a form of bullying, you know?
Absolutely.
And bullying always comes from fear and anxiety.
Absolutely.
All right, so instead of saying, like, if you don't agree with this, I'm just going to go to court, I'm going to my lawyer, what should someone say?
Here's why I want X. Here's why I think this would be a good parenting plan for our children, as opposed to my lawyer said this would happen if I go to court. Because then you're saying to your soon-to-be ex-spouse, I'm not really invested in this process. I don't really believe that we can reach an amicable outcome through mediation. I'll just have my lawyer handle it in court. And right. So you are stating, I'm not going to negotiate with you.
Okay, so this is great. And somebody gave me some advice. I don't know if I should say her name on the podcast, but
probably not.
Okay. a former manager of mine at my old job told me this once. Anytime you ask for something in business, you have to sell it. You have to give a reason why. So if she said to me, if you're asking me for a raise, you have to tell me why you think you need it, why you think you deserve it, and why it makes sense. And really, the same thing applies in mediation. So instead of saying, I want the kids 4 nights a week, and I'm sure the judge is going to give it to me. So if you don't want to do it, I'm just going to go to court. Say, here's why I should have the kids 4 nights a week. Because you're traveling for work, because Joey always does his homework with me, and I really know how to get him to do it. And even though he loves being at your house, I really think this will benefit Joey. So you're selling it. So to my listeners, if you're going to go to mediation and ask for something, be prepared to sell it. What you're asking for.
You're selling it, and you're also, everything that you just said in those few sentences was proving to your soon-to-be ex-spouse, this is best for the kids, as opposed to, this is what I want. Because if it's, this is what you want, and I'm divorcing you, I don't really care what you want. If you're saying, this is best for our children, and here's why, they need the stability of more school nights of the week at my house, or in one place, my house, your house, wherever. And they need to have that stability of not going back and forth because you know our children and that will make them crazy and they'll forget stuff. And, you know, it all depends on the kids. So if you're getting your soon-to-be ex-spouse to think about what's in the best interest of your children, that's going to go a lot more smoothly than I want this or my lawyer said that I deserve this.
And guess what else? People getting divorced are so mad at each other that sometimes that won't even sell it because they're temporarily not caring about the kids because they're so angry they can't see past it. So you may even have to sell it to them and say, this is also better for you because you travel all the time. Now you're off the hook. Give me the kids. I don't mind. And you don't have to worry and you can go do your job. Ellen is nodding, by the way. So sometimes you have to sell it to what's benefiting your spouse too.
Exactly. But they need to see it as a benefit to them as opposed to, you know, my friends expect me to have just as many school nights as she has, except she's been a stay-at-home mom, or she works from home in her job, whatever that is, or she works school hours, and she has always been the one to drive the kids to soccer and tennis and whatever they're doing. Why do you want to pretend that you can leave work early enough to do that on multiple weeknights? It's not going to happen.
Now I'm nodding in agreement. Okay, but here's the thing. Don't ever bring up any other people's divorce in your mediation because every case is completely different. So if you say, my friend said in her divorce, she got 50% of his retirement fund. Well, you don't even know what else is on the table. Every divorce is different. So another thing that isn't in this article that I think we can both agree on is you don't bring up anyone else's divorce in mediation.
Right. Well, and we always say, you know, there's good information online, on the internet, you know, you can talk to your friends if you choose to, but you have no idea what their situation was. It's much better if you listen to us, listen to your lawyer if you've hired a lawyer, and trust your own gut about what you want and why you want it, because you don't know anyone else's situation.
And there's no right or wrong answers. You know, a lot of people will say, that's all you got? Wow, you must not have had a very good lawyer. You know, and so you're thinking, well, you don't even know the situation at all. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. It matters what you think and if you trust your lawyer and your mediators.
True.
You're listening to the Divorce Girl Smiling podcast with Jackie Pilisoff and my guest, divorce mediator Ellen Feldman. Ellen has been a mediator since 2007. She's also an attorney And Ellen, you used to do corporate litigation, correct?
I did, but not, right. And I've never been a divorce lawyer litigating in court.
But you've been a litigator, so you're definitely in tune to the fighting mentality.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're talking about four things not to say during mediation. Number two, I am keeping the house. It's best to have stability for our children, and I'm not moving. So what would happen if you said that, if someone said that in mediation? How would the spouse react?
Well, the spouse is going to be upset because you don't know that you can't afford to keep the house. You don't know if you'll be getting child support, spousal support. Maybe you earn more than your spouse does. Maybe you earn the same as what your spouse earns. Maybe you'll be able to stay in the house. But many times people make that statement without having filled out their financial affidavit, and they don't know for sure that the house won't have to be sold.
So a better way of saying that is, I would like to keep the house. I would like to keep the children in the house. I don't want to move. How can we make that happen?
Much better.
Right? This way they're not getting defensive. They're not getting angry. They're not feeling like you feel like you have the right and you're being entitled. So,
good word.
I have a great resource for anyone listening to this who doesn't know if they should keep the house or if they don't know if they can afford it. I believe, Ellen, tell me if you agree with me. If you don't know whether or not you can afford to stay in your house, your first call should be to a mortgage banker. And I learned this firsthand, by the way, because I was looking at a property and didn't know how much I could afford. And so I called Tammy Wolenzak, who is a mortgage banker specializing in divorce. She made me give her all these financial documents. Took, you know, a couple days to get them together. And I found out that I couldn't afford as much as I thought I could. And it was the best exercise that I could have done. And by the way, if anybody's listening, TammyWolenzak.com, and you can also find her on Divorce Girl Smiling. I think she's great. And she will be able to tell you, here's how much you can get a mortgage for if you want to stay in your house. Because for those of you who are just getting divorced and you don't know about this, one of three things is going to happen. Your ex is going to buy the house from you, or you're going to buy it from him or her, or you're going to both sell it and both leave the house, right?
Those are the three things.
Right. Okay. So in any case, the first two, actually, one of you will need a new mortgage to own the house by yourself instead of with your spouse. He can't just give it to you. You have to then have your name on the house and a new mortgage to go along with it, which is why you should talk to Tammy and she'll tell you if you can afford it. So it's really a great exercise. And then you'll have all the documents that you need to give Ellen and Brian anyway.
Correct.
So it really is a good thing to do. Okay. That was the second thing. The third thing not to say is, I make Christmas happen every year, so I should have Christmas Eve overnight. Now, what would somebody say?
They'll cry. That's the one time. I can almost guarantee that the mom or the dad will be crying about Christmas Eve overnight.
So you have kind of just opened my eyes, because you're right. I would imagine the thought of Christmas when you're getting divorced and not being with your kids the entire, like, either Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, that must be heartbreaking to people.
Absolutely heartbreaking.
So please, if you're listening to this, keep this in mind. Don't try to take Christmas from your ex. As mad as at him or her as you are, don't do it. Even if you really hope to end up with it, there's a different, better way to go about it, right, Ellen? Like, what should they say instead of that?
Most holidays are, there's a different time to celebrate them. We have couples who don't necessarily have Thanksgiving dinner with their children every year. One might do breakfast or brunch. One might, you know, do the all the kids who play football on Thanksgiving and do brunch or lunch with their parents. Or some people will have Thanksgiving dinner on Friday instead of Thursday. It doesn't feel the same specificity to happen on that specific day of the year as Christmas. For people who are religious, they go to Mass on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning. They feel like there is no other time to observe Christmas other than December 24th and 25th. So we try to help them. Does one of you want Christmas Eve? Do you want to flip-flop the overnight every year? Does one of you celebrate with your parents, the kids' grandparents, on Christmas Day? Tell us your traditions, and then we'll help you carve out time so that you each get some time with your children over Christmas
holiday. And what I want to tell you is what I see on the Divorced Girl Smiling Facebook group, people get so upset, especially that first year. And I want to tell everybody listening, please don't stress out about it unnecessarily, because no judge is going to award your ex Christmas every single year. And even better, if you go to mediation, you'll walk out of the mediation sessions with a good deal that will make you feel okay about Christmas. And I promise you, it'll totally work out and be fine. Don't you think, Ellen?
And the friendlier you are in mediation, the more amenable to different ways of solving problems in mediation, you may end up doing Christmas morning together a few years from mm-hmm. now. It may not feel like that when you're going through the process and you hate each other and can't wait to be done. But if you are willing to give in the mediation process, you might end up opening gifts together on Christmas Eve with your kids or Christmas morning. We've had many couples who have put in their agreements that mom or dad can come over at 7 in the morning to do presents and breakfast.
That is so nice. Do you know, my daughter graduated high school last spring, and in June we went out for dinner for her graduation, and it was me and my boyfriend and my ex-husband and his sister and my son, and it was the nicest dinner, and my daughter was so happy because she felt like she had everybody there. And if somebody would have told me when I was getting divorced that that's what we would be doing, I'd have said, no way, you are crazy, that's never gonna happen. And it was really, really nice.
That's the best.
Mm-hmm. All right, moving on to the last thing you shouldn't say in mediation is, my attorney said that I can have blank, fill in the blank, in our settlement. So we kind of touched on this before, like, well, my attorney said, you know what? That should be three words you should never say in mediation. My attorney said.
Absolutely.
What does that do? Why is that
well,
bad?
Well, it's sort of what we talked about with, if we go to court, I'm going to get X. But it's back to, no attorney should promise his or her client what is going to happen with a judge. You don't know. You can say, the law says this about spousal support, or the law says that about child support, but the you cannot promise a client you're going to get four nights a week because he or she travels. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe you'll end up giving makeup time when he or she travels. Maybe you'll work out a different schedule. Maybe one of you will have more weeknights than the other, and one of you will have more Monday holidays like Martin Luther King and President's Day. There are ways to resolve every single issue in mediation if you keep an open mind.
Well, if someone says, my attorney said, I would say to that person, you know what? Leave your attorney out of this. He's not here. And that's why you're in mediation. Because to make people feel better, you're probably going to run this all by your attorney anyway. When mediation is over, your attorney's going to see your agreement. And if there's anything that the attorney thinks isn't appropriate and thinks that you're getting a really bad deal, that person's going to speak up. And I bet that almost never happens. I bet it's never happened in your career, right, Ellen?
Right.
Okay. So, but be assured that your attorney has your back. So whatever you sign in mediation is going to be, your attorney's going to look at it. But also, my attorney said, I'm entitled to this. Well, of course they're going to say that. They're your attorney. They're on your side. They want you to have hope, and they're rooting for you, and they want what's best for you, and they're going to go for it for you. But your attorney's not with you in mediation. In mediation, it's Ellen, Brian, you, and your soon-to-be ex, and it's up to all of you to come to really good decisions and a parenting plan and the financials that all make sense that you both feel good about. So what my attorney said does not matter, is my point.
And your attorney, to your point a few sentences ago, if your soon-to-be ex went to the same attorney, he or she would promise him or her the same things
exactly.
From their perspective. And
exactly.
Not yours.
And also, if you say, my attorney said, that's just going to turn your soon-to-be spouse, soon-to-be ex off. That's just going to make them cringe and go, ooh, I hate her attorney. The guy's a jerk. And then it's going to bring up defenses and maybe ruin any chance of a good, productive talk.
Definitely.
This has been great, Ellen. You are a wealth of information.
Thank you.
And in closing, Ellen, this is what you wrote in your article. If people in divorce mediation cannot listen to their spouse or imagine a different way to solve a problem, the process becomes challenging. Trying to be reasonable in and giving your spouse the benefit of the doubt goes a long way towards successful mediation. We realize it's not easy. Feelings of distrust, anger, bitterness, and resentment can cloud good judgment and make you want to say things you shouldn't. But if you keep your eye on the end game and focus on the outcome you truly want, and if you're willing to compromise on some things, you'll benefit and your post-divorce life will look wonderful. I love that. Any final words of advice?
Keep an open mind is my final word of advice. I mean, as much as you think we don't get along, we can't solve problems, we're never going to get through, we're not going to be able to mediate, we're not going to get through this, have faith in yourself that you can stay calm and respect your soon-to-be ex-spouse and go with the process. Listen to us as the mediators. Let us facilitate agreements between you and your spouse, and then sit next to each other at graduations and walk your child down the aisle together and do all the, have graduation dinner together when your child graduates from high school. All of those things are so important and so much more possible if you give each other the benefit of the doubt and if you mediate your divorce.
I just love it. And never say never, because there's probably a lot of people listening saying, there is no way in hell I would ever go to dinner with my ex. I'm telling you, I said the same thing. And it eventually all works out. So Ellen and I are both rooting for you. We're praying for you. We know you're going to be fine if you make good decisions. And we wish you all the best. So if you want to reach Ellen, Ellen Feldman and her partner, Brian James, they are the divorce mediators at their company, CEL & Associates, which is CELandAssociates.com. Or you can find articles they wrote, other podcasts that I did with them on DivorcedGirlSmiling.com. Thanks so much for being here, Ellen.
Thank you for having me.
Always love having you. And thanks so much for listening, everyone. We'll talk to you real soon.